Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Dr. Zelenko is back. He talks about the vaccine, how dangerous it could potentially be for children, and also, is there a new virus raging in China? That and so much more. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest organization that exists to pass down American values to future generations, go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, take out your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Dr. Zelenko talks about his treatment several times throughout this program. We have a special offer just for you. It's zstacklife.com/charlie. zstacklife.com/charlie. If you guys want to check out that offer. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Dr. Zelenko is here, back by popular demand on the Charlie Kirk Show. Doctor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank God, Charlie. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. And thank you for joining us. There's so much I want to get into. Let's just start with, since the last time we talked, Omicron has come onto the scene. What are you seeing in your patients? What do you believe Omicron is? And do you think there's anything to the argument that this might have been developed in a lab as a form of a vaccine through natural transmission? Do you think there's any truth to that?
So first of all, Omicron is unstoppable. It's more infectious than measles. Everyone will get it. And it's also not dangerous. It attacks the upper airway in most cases, doesn't touch the lower airway. And so you'll get a cold. So it really isn't dangerous. Regarding the origin of variants, you have to look at it in three possibilities. One is that it's a natural process. Let's say God is causing it, because viruses have a natural mutation rate. It helps them adapt and survive. Dr. Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for finding HIV in 2008, Dr. Sakharov Bahdi, who is the most published immunologist in the history of the field, and Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, one of the top immunologists from Netherlands, they all said the following, that if you vaccinate people during an active pandemic, you breed variants. You exert evolutionary pressure and cause variants to develop. Now, that could be malicious or it could be not intentional. That's hard to know. But but I have a third supposition. No one disagrees that the original COVID-19 is a laboratory-made weapon of mass destruction. We have 20 years of patent evidence documenting how this weapon was made. So my question is, the people that made the original, can't they make subsequent versions? And so, even though I don't have any evidence for that, but what I'm saying is that it may be a combination of all three. But in the particular case of Omicron, it is it's relatively simple to get through, and it's very responsive to treatment.
What treatments are you seeing that are working the best? Is it similar to the original COVID strain? And you've basically said that the whole world is going to get it, which very well should have been. That's what a mature society would have said from the very beginning and then focused on early treatments and early intervention. What are you seeing in regards to this variant?
So this is what I've been trying to explain to the cell biology to people. It's a little technical, but all the different variants – essentially are mutations in the spike protein. The spike protein is the male part of the virus that attaches to the cell, which has a female receptor part. Now, if you change the three-dimensional structure of the spike protein, it is possible that existing antibodies from previous infections will not restructure, and it will be able to infect the cell. But my treatment plan, all the different variants, are basically different ways to get into the cell. I personally don't care if the virus gets into the cell, because my treatment is focused on the virus from making copies of its genetic material. And all the variants, this is very important, Charlie, all the variants use the same pathway to make copies of their genetic material. So by blocking RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, that's the common pathway for all the variants, you stop all of them. So the treatment is exactly the same as I've been advocating for.
And I've seen that treatment work wonders while our own government is covering that up and not even allowing a discussion around it. Can you talk a little bit about kind of how important it is at this moment to recognize that almost everyone's going to get this, to properly prepare the population for it? And at the same time, we see from the government or from the regime a complete unwillingness to even allow a conversation with early treatments. They're still pushing the vaccine. Do you think the vaccine might be lowering people's immune systems for a potential response to this virus?
We spoke about this last time. I've discovered some very interesting piece of information that in March of 2020, when I saw MedCram episode 34 on YouTube, Dr. Schultz, he reminded me of the mechanism of action of zinc and zinc ionophores, and I built my treatment on that. And he referenced the paper. And what I didn't realize was that paper was authored by Dr. Ralph Baric. Okay. In 1999, Dr. Ralph Baric, funded by the United States government, figured out how to take a virus of one species and transform it to infect another species. In 2015, Dr. Ralph Baric, together with Dr. Zheng Li from Wuhan, because gain of function or making a weapon of mass murder research was outlawed, they figured out how to take a coronavirus virus and have it infect human beings. So Dr. Ralph Baric was involved in every single stage of the development of the weapon. He was also involved in 2010 in developing the antidote to the weapon. And when doctors like myself, out of necessity, stumbled across that information and used it and saw how it works, so the government actually had paid for that technology. And so they knew what works and what doesn't work. They knew that there was a treatment, hydroxychloroquine and zinc or other zinc ionophores, to diffuse this bomb. So listen, the people that made this and released it, they don't want to die themselves. So they had a way out for themselves and their families, but not for you and not for me. Now, when someone like me found that information and used it and proved that it works, everything has been done to suppress access to that information, suppress access to the actual medications, deplatform doctors who talk about it, and also delay treatment. So this is a conspiracy to commit, it's not a theory, but it is a conspiracy to commit mass murder.
So the treatment that you've been talking about here, and I want to make sure everyone is aware of it, and we have, a lot of people have purchased it, is zstacklife.com/Charlie. It's zstacklife.com/Charlie. But it has zinc immune support and immune support that has been made from Dr. Zelenko. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, and mining and selling your online information. SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated. SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one app supporting your private connection with others of your choice. It's a terrific technology, and it safely brings together your family, friends, team, club, business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. SquadPod applications are encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I haven't gotten to know the SquadPod team, and they are true patriots of the mission dedicated to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by going to squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Can you walk us through the Nuremberg Code and how the people in charge, Fauci and others, might potentially be in violation of it?
Well, you know, human experimentation without the consent of the person who's being experimented on, which was the problem, in one of the problems with the Nazi regime, when they did medical experiments in concentration camps on, you know, innocent victims. And that's exactly what's going on, because no one is being given informed consent of what these vaccines actually do. And if you look at the package inserts for these vaccines, they're empty. And so there's absolutely a violation of the Nuremberg Code and just common sense. And people are being given false assurances. These vaccines cause blood clots, strokes, heart attacks, myocarditis, increase in miscarriages from 10 to 82%, increase in cancers, increase in autoimmune diseases, ovarian and testicular dysfunction, and the dreaded antibody-dependent enhancement, and most likely infertility. And so there's no justification. The risks of these vaccines are horrific. And we knew, the FDA knew about that a minimum 2 months prior to their rollout, because they did a presentation to the internal scientists stating all the side effects. And then when the vaccines were rolled out and you looked at the VAERS database, which reports all the side effects, there was 100% correlation between what was predicted and what actually happened. So this is actually what's called premeditation, premeditated first degree mass murder and genocide.
Some people say that it's hard to believe that in America that would actually be the case. They'd say that's an exaggeration. You're blowing it out of proportion. But also, Doctor, I think it's important for some of our new listeners that you don't use the Nazi comparisons lightly. That's used by the media all the time. But as a practicing Jew, and someone who if I remember correctly, you had relatives that survived the horrors of the 20th century. You don't say that lightly.
So I'm from Ukraine, Kyiv. During Operation Barbarossa in 1941, when the Nazis, the 2nd Division, approached Kyiv, so I had my father's mother, my grandmother, and her family, her parents, her brother, and there was a grandmother there. And everyone was being evacuated to the Carpathian mountains. Now, the great-grandmother was very ill and frail and couldn't travel, so her daughter stayed with her, which was my grandmother's mother, and her brother stayed. And my grandmother and her father were evacuated. When Nazis came, they buried alive and shot and buried alive over 80,000 Jews in a ravine called Babi Yar. And those weren't during the Holocaust, my family lost 40 relatives. Some of them died on the front as soldiers. For example, my grandfather was one of 13. Him and his brother were the only ones that survived. I grew up with this mentality. I grew up with the understanding of what totalitarian governments are capable of doing. And I see exactly what's going on. And the reason why Americans can't believe it is because who would think that in the freest country in the world, you can have within a few years a complete shift in policy. For example, you look at New York, they voted, even though it wasn't approved, it wasn't elected, but they voted on a law that unvaccinated people should not have health insurance. Or how about this one, that the governor could unilaterally detain someone, quarantine facility, if they're deemed a possible threat to public health indefinitely. So, yeah, it's happening in America.
I think people need to think deeply about what you're actually living through. You know, in schools all the time, they say, never again will we allow what happened in the 20th century happen again. There's Dr. Zelenko, who has 40 relatives who died in the horrors of the 20th century, saying it's happening. But look, everybody, the country's falling apart. We know it. And we do a lot of different partnerships. But this one, I want you to listen carefully. Do you know that there's a yellow phosphorus crisis right now, which makes a synthetic fertilizer? I got to sound the alarm, everybody. Food shortage, it's coming. And I've been telling you about why and all we need to be prepared for in case the worst happens. Could be a power outage, EMP, you name it. And people say, are you being an alarmist? I'm a realist. You saw with the Fauci virus, things can get bad quickly. I prepared myself and my family, and I hope you have too. There's a food shortage coming, and the way things are going, it's not looking good. And none of us should ever gamble with our family's well-being. That's why I strongly endorse My Patriot Supply as the go-to source for your family's emergency preparedness products. You'll find more than just emergency food. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Carries just about everything you need for the challenging times ahead. Plus, your order will be shipped today much faster than the competition can. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get what you need quickly. They have food in stock ready to ship to your door in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Don't wait and suffer the pain of regret. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com. Dr. Zelenko, there are whispers from Dr. Malone and other people that I trust that there is a potential Ebola-like virus raging through China that might be something completely different. What have you heard about this? And do you think it just might be hysteria gone wild? Or do you think that there might be another mutant or mutation, I should say, that might have been caused by the mass inoculation strategy that we underwent?
So you're referring to a virus that's causing hemorrhagic fever and bleeding. That's not a coronavirus. It's more similar to an Ebola virus. I became aware of Marburg virus 6 months ago, doing research anticipating potential other threats, like smallpox. Marburg virus was developed by the Russians and used as a bioweapon. So I looked into its cell biology. Turns out it's a single strand RNA virus, which is in the same kind of pathway as influenza virus and COVID, even though it's much, much more lethal. It's like, I think, around 30% lethality. And so in anticipation of a potential threat from such a virus, I spoke to a queried 10 of the leading immunologists and researchers that I know. And most of them had no idea. I even spoke to Dr. Malone, and he didn't know either. And he was looking into who's the expert in the government on Marburg virus. However, I had a colleague from Germany, Dr. Roland Derwand, and I asked him, here, look, we have an RNA polymerase to replicate. Do you think the zinc ionophore zinc approach would work? And he said, yes. The issue is, how do you test it? You don't have Marburg virus available to test. So if God forbid, I don't know exactly what this virus is, although Marburg is a real possibility. I can't know, but if it is Marburg, there is, at least in theory, a way to deal with it. And by the way, smallpox as well, with a different treatment.
Well, so yeah, I suppose 30% mortality rate gets people, they're pulling over to the side of the street right now listening on radio. They say, wait a second, you just said 30%? So what do we know about this in China? Because Malone said this today on a show, and it's going kind of viral. Hemorrhagic fever is very rare in the United States. It could come from insects, right? It's the question is, I guess, is also transmission. What do we know, and how much of this are we just speculating?
We're speculating. You know, we're relying on information coming out of the CCP. That has to be weighed also because there's a lot of false information. And this may be just another attempt to cause mass hysteria. I just don't know. It's too early to tell. However, I would start preparing just in case that if this thing does arrive, and I don't know how infectious it is. There's a lot of variables here that we just don't know. But I would rather be on the safe side than not. And try to stock up on some hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, or get some quercetin or EGCG, which is a green tea extract, zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D. And, you know, I don't have an answer for everything. We'll have to wait and see.
So one of the other things I want to ask you is that we have a lot of listeners that regrettably got the vaccine, meaning they regret getting the vaccine. What would you say to those listeners now to try and help their immune system? Is there anything they can do after they get the vaccine? What would your guidance or wisdom be for those people?
First of all, don't take another shot. It seems like common sense, but it has to be said. And then you have to understand the risks of what these vaccines do. So the first 3 to 4 months, one of the major issues is blood clots. So there are ways to mitigate that risk, even over the counter. There's something called N-acetylcysteine, NAC, a very powerful antioxidant, but also it prevents blood clots. And then there's aspirin. If you're at much higher risk, there are prescription anticoagulants like Eliquis or Xarelto. So blood thinners, I mean. And so that risk could be managed. The main concern is what's called antibody-dependent enhancement, which is the antibodies produced by these vaccines are pathogenic. They're lethal. And so if you understand you have a bomb inside you, and you know what the trigger is, you can have a rational strategy to mitigate the risk. And so what is the trigger? It's a similar virus that the antibodies recognize and mount an attack upon and release a firestorm of immune devastation on you. And so the key is not to get a viral infection. Now you're going to ask, how do you do that? So let me tell you how I conceptualize it. Let's say you have a 10-year-old healthy child, and God forbid he was vaccinated. To me, he has the risk of a 95-year-old nursing home resident right now. And I would recommend aggressive prophylaxis, preferably with something like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, if you can get it, with zinc and vitamin C and vitamin D to mitigate the risk of actually getting a virus, number one. Number two, if you do get it, God forbid, you have to start treatment immediately. I'll give you an analogy. I'm sure you know what strep throat is, right? Everyone knows, especially people who have kids. If someone gets, specifically, it's called strep A. Now, there are many other streps. There's strep B, strep C, D, E. We don't treat any of them because your immune system could actually take care of them. The only one we do treat is strep A, and with antibiotics. And the question is why? So it turns out that the immune reaction against strep A will kill strep A. However, it also, the same antibodies attack the hearts of children and cause dramatic heart disease. They destroy the heart valves of children. And so we don't know why, but that's what it does. So in order to prevent the destruction of children's hearts, we do not want an immune reaction. We want your immune system to lay dormant and let the antibiotics do the job. Same thing here. Since the immune reaction is going to be pathogenic, not every immune reaction is good, and like autoimmune diseases, right? So since the immune reaction is going to be so dangerous. I'd rather have antiviral drugs clear the virus and not mount an immune response.
So for parents that are, I mean, it's an obvious question, so I actually don't have to ask it, but parents are still considering to vaccinate their kids all across the country. And it's a stunning thing just to see it happen and to see the lack of pushback against it. What would, let's just pretend, doctor, we have 4 minutes in this segment. There's someone listening right now. They're going to text us their friend who's about to vaccinate their kid. What's your best case right now? The best argument you have to not vaccinate a child with the COVID-19 shot?
According to the CDC, children, healthy children, have a 99.998% chance of recovery from COVID with no treatment. Dr. Michael Yaden, former VP, Vice President of Pfizer, said to me personally and also on the international media, the statistics are that for every one child that we're supposed to die from COVID, 100 die from the vaccine. In other words, the vaccine is 100 times more lethal to children than the virus it's supposedly protecting you from. So there's a term for that. It's called child sacrifice.
That's that statement speaks for itself, I would say. And yet parents are still doing that. Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters, VPN with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. When we see with the new announcements out of DC, if you spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Is it true that the vaccine is still in phase 3 experimental treatment? Is that correct?
Yeah, because it was brought to market after 9 months of development. Usually the medical precedent is from 7 to 10 years. And the reason why it takes so long is you need to vet whether or not it causes long-term consequences, infertility or other cancers or other complications. And so let me give you some history. In the 1960s, the RSV vaccine was developed. It killed more children than the virus. And when they investigated, it was because of antibody-dependent enhancement. That was thrown out. In the 70s, there was the dengue fever virus vaccine. It was given to adults. It killed more adults than the virus. And when they investigated, it caused antibody-dependent enhancement. All the coronaviruses vaccines in the past, in animal studies, a large percentage of the animals died because of antibody-dependent enhancement. Now, this vaccine that's been deployed on the human race, wouldn't you think it's a good idea to exclude antibody-dependent enhancement from the human race before you give the vaccine to 7 billion people? Well, that wasn't done.
It's hard to believe. I guess it's shocking in many sense, but basically knowing what the government is capable of and what they do and the history of totalitarian governments, nothing should really surprise us. It's zstacklife.com/Charlie for Dr. Zelenko's treatment, if you guys want to check it out. It's all there on the website, and early treatment is the key. It's a pandemic of the untreated and a pandemic of the lack of early treatment. You have your own medical challenges you're going through. If you feel comfortable, please share them with the audience.
Yeah, so around almost 4 years ago, when my daughter was 10 days old, I didn't feel well. The doctors thought it was a major blood clot in my lungs. Didn't respond to blood thinners. I was coughing up blood, and the decision was made to do open heart surgery to remove the blood clot. When they opened up my pulmonary artery, it's where it wasn't a clot, but it was a pulmonary artery sarcoma. It's probably the rarest cancer in the world. There's only around 10 cases worldwide each year, and they're all found at autopsy. So it's 100% lethal. And it had just completely destroyed my right lung, so they had to remove my right lung. So I went to sleep for surgery thinking I'm getting a blood clot removed. I wake up with a terminal cancer, and I'm missing my right lung. And that was interesting. And then there was no treatment. And it actually relates to COVID because, you know, I kind of had skin in the game. You know, I wanted to live. So I developed my own kind of idea of how to treat this thing. And it was based on a certain drug. And I made a mental note that when I go see the oncologist, I'm going to ask him about it. And when I go to the oncologist, I ask him about this drug. He says, you know, I invented that drug. So what? And so I said, you're the man on the planet I need to talk to. So he agreed actually to use it, and I was free of cancer for 2 years, and then it recurred, and I had it also spread to my left hip, so I needed to have another open heart surgery to remove my replace my heart valve. Then I went for radiation, and then I went on horrific chemo, and after 2 months of that chemo, I developed cardiomyopathy, which basically heart damage, and my heart function dropped to a level of someone who had a major heart attack. And so I developed congestive heart failure, and I had fluid in my lungs. I couldn't breathe. I had to go to the hospital. They removed the fluid, stopped the chemo, put me on heart failure drugs. And then slowly I got better. And then the oncologist put me on an oral cancer drug, and that suppressed my bone marrow, lowered my white blood cell count, and I got COVID pneumonia in my one remaining lung, both lobes. And I was pretty sure I was going to leave in a box in the hospital, and yet I did survive, thank God. And so I kind of was left with just the wait-and-see approach. And then 4 months ago, 4 months ago, I went for a routine CAT scan, and it came back again. And this time, no surgeon wants to touch it because it's in a place that's extremely dangerous. And a third open heart surgery is high mortality. They estimate more than 50% chance I'll die on the table. So I didn't, and I can't take chemo. So I got very high dose radiation to the tumor, and I went to Europe for two months. And I got immunotherapy, pretty cutting edge stuff. And believe it or not, I had a CAT scan last week, and it showed that the tumor had shrunk.
Wow.
By a third. And so, listen, I take it day by day. But the reason why it's related to COVID is two things I learned from having cancer like this. One is, if there's no answer, go find one. If you have no answer, go find one, like I did for my cancer. I decided to do that for COVID. And number two, when you think you're dying, I stopped being afraid of people, just being afraid of God. And that stayed with me, which is helpful when you're fighting the most lethal animals on the planet.
It's a spiritual war. And next time we're going to have you on, maybe even next week, I want to ask you about your Judaism and how that instructs you to fight all the bad guys. Because I think that it's a beautiful thing, and you weave those truths and those teachings into your commentary quite often. Zstacklife.com/Charlie. Dr. Zelenko, God's not done with you yet. We have a lot more bad guys to defeat together. I'm confident of that. God bless you. And Baruch Hashem, thank you for joining our program. We're deeply appreciative. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.